Romans chapter 10 is where we're going to start this morning. I did not title this teaching, Speak God's Word. Instead, I titled it, Why Do We Speak God's Word? So we're going to start in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a great desire for his people, people in his country, his brethren, his nation, to receive salvation, and he prayed about it. And then, of course, in verse 9, how they get saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how you get salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he just told them how to get saved. Well, how then shall they call on him of in whom they have not believed? Well, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isn't that beautiful the way that says that? We preach the gospel of peace, not a gospel of condemnation, not a gospel of criticism, not a gospel of sending people to hell for their actions, but it's a gospel of peace, and we bring glad tidings of good things. I think in the days we're living, people would be blessed to hear some glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how people can believe, but they got to hear it. So we go to Acts chapter 4, the first century church. In those early days, going to Acts chapter 4. And of course, this follows the great healing that took place in Acts chapter 3, the man laid at the gate beautiful, the lame man that was healed. And then Peter healed him, and people were like, oh my goodness. And then Peter preached. And then it says in Acts 4, 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, meaning they arrested them, and put them in hold in prison unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a big group. But why did they believe? Because they heard. How did they hear? Somebody spoke. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, remember those two? Yep. Wasn't that long ago when they had Jesus Christ executed. And John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or what name have you done this? Mm-hmm. Talking about the lame man getting healed. It would have been wonderful if they had said, would you teach us so we could do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, is that what you're asking me? Well, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Remember, he was lame from his mother's womb, and he was walking and leaping and praising God. A little hard to say anything. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. All right, let's talk this over, guys. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they should speak henceforth to no man in this name. Cancel culture has been around a long time.
Yeah.
We need to shut them up. They are not speaking the narrative, if you will. We can't have this going on. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You are not allowed to do this. And Peter and John answered and said, okay, we're sorry. I love his answer. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. How about us? We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, oh my gosh, they just commanded them and said, look, we're not kidding. They further threatened them, let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, this one miracle. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So everybody knew him. Daily they was at the gate temple beautiful. For 40 years, everybody knew him. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and here's their prayer after all of that, Lord, you are God who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Love some of these prayers you read about in the Bible. When they prayed, they acknowledged that God was God Almighty, that he was the creator of the heavens and the earth. They just, many times you see prayers where they started by giving God great praise. Mm-hmm. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, God said this by the mouth of his servant David, because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is from Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, and here's their petition, here's their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them aught the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Quite a spiritual revival going on there, right? Back to verse 29 again. Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings. Our adversary wants to get rid of God's word, period. And he uses many means to discredit the Bible. It's an old book. It's full of myths. Men wrote it. It's for those fanatics, those Bible thumper, right wing, whatever they are. He'll use any method to discredit God's word. He doesn't want people to hear what God's word has to say. He doesn't want people to hear, and he absolutely wants people to stop speaking God's word so people won't hear. Because in order for people to believe, they have to hear. In order for them to hear, somebody needs to speak, right? We read that in Romans. So he wants to keep people from believing God's word. Just like Genesis 3, did God say that? And then he said, you shall not surely die. In other words, God's word is not true. God lies. So nothing's changed, right? So in the Old Testament, Satan's plan was not only to get God's people to turn away from the one true God and worship idols, but he really was endeavoring to wipe out God's people so the Messiah couldn't come. But as you know, Jesus Christ did come, and he completed all that was necessary for salvation and redemption for human beings. And our enemy continues to try to get rid of the Word of God, and especially the Word of God pertaining to Jesus Christ. So nothing's changed. You know, our enemy would like nothing better than for the entire world to be like some countries that we know about, China, North Korea, where it's illegal to have a Bible. You're not even allowed to have it. What was it last year? I think China, I have a Bible app on my phone so I can read the Bible and switch translations if I want. It's right there. It's a Bible app. There's a lot of them. It was last year China outlawed Bible apps on phones. And of course, paper Bibles have been outlawed for a long time. So we have to always remember to see the big picture of things going on. So here in Acts 4:29, they prayed, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we can unite together and overthrow this ridiculous religious system that's persecuting us. That we could unite together and overthrow this oppressive Roman government that we have right on our property. And those were difficult times that they were living in. You got the Romans are in their land. An invasion, if you want to call it that. They're being ruled by the Romans. And the Roman, they had power and enforced it. And there was also the corrupt religious leaders who had power. Power to arrest you. Power to beat you. Power to execute you. And yet their prayer, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we can speak your word. The word boldness means to speak openly, speak freely. So they were praying that they could speak God's word openly, that there would be people that would listen so that they could speak freely, that they could hold nothing back, that they could share God's word with them. Why would they want to do that? So people could get saved, born again. And also in their prayer that signs and wonders could be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Still a good prayer today, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Grant unto us that with all boldness, openness, that we could speak God's word and that signs and wonders could be done in the name of Jesus Christ. And then verse 31, they did that. That when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake the word of God with openness. Great openness. Well, we're not going to read the whole record in Acts chapter 5 because then they got arrested again. But during the middle of the night, as you know, the angel came, opened the doors, and told them, this is getting out of hand. Run for your lives. We know what the angel said, right? Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go speak. And then, of course, they got arrested again. And they were threatened. And they were beaten and let go. And in verse 42 of chapter 5, after all of that, daily in the temple, Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In the temple, house to house, wherever it was, speaking God's word. They were very committed. And then, of course, sometime later, Stephen was arrested and executed. And that was pretty hard to handle. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his, Stephen's, death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They were definitely hurt, great sorrow. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Look at this, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere into hiding, changed their identity, changed their names, got new IDs. Isn't this amazing? They went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. And we just read there was a great persecution, right? A couple of weeks ago we were reading in Romans 8, and there was this list that we read where God said, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Remember that? You know what one of the things on the list was? Persecutions. Persecutions. This is a great persecution, and God said, more than conquerors. So in the midst of this great persecution, these believers went everywhere preaching God's word. So in our day and time, the days we're living in, we are not living in a great persecution. There definitely is persecution. But is anybody busting into this house and dragging people to jail? Beating them? Killing them? No. But in our day and time, who will speak God's word? We are the people of God, God's people, God's children, who are living in this day and time in this area of the world. We're God's people. Who will speak? So then the question is, why? Why should we speak God's word? Well, take a look at Acts 26. And this is just really wonderful. In Acts 26, Paul, who, thank God, got converted, he is before Agrippa, because you know he got arrested and all that for going to Jerusalem. And so part of what he shared with Agrippa in Acts 26:9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I thought it was a pretty good idea what I was doing. You know, he thought he was doing God a big favor. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He had God's people murdered. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. That's pretty bright. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And here it is, look at verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul wasn't sent to organize a political revolution. He wasn't sent to overthrow governments or religious establishments. And Paul did not travel around to get people into the new movement. He traveled around to get the word into people. Why? To bring the light of God's word so that people's eyes could be open. God's word opens people's eyes. And that's why we speak God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom the God of this world, we know who that is, that's our enemy, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So why do we speak God's word? Why do we speak the truth? To open people's eyes, to give them a knowledge of the glory of God. We preach the glorious gospel of Christ, and it's a great gospel. So we do that to bring salvation to people that they can get born again, but not just salvation, but also let's read it. I had made a note. 1 Timothy, I'm sure you know the verse, but 1 Timothy, God's wonderful will. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, after God tells us to pray, let's just read it. Chapter 2, 1 Timothy, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, all women. Pray a lot. And then we don't forget to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And many times we're reminded of those verses when we see things in our country going on, and so we pray for our elected officials to make right decisions, and, you know, we pray. Can't go, you know, and cast our vote when the House is voting on something, right? We're not a representative. They cast the votes. They pass the laws. So we pray. But then look at the next verse. In the sight of God our Savior, verse 4, this is God's will, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's word opens blind eyes so that people can see the truth. The light of God's word shows people what is true. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. See, it's not just to bring salvation, and, you know, there's nothing better that you could ever do for somebody than to get them born again. Now they're in the family, they have eternal life. But if all God's will was, because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, if God's will was only just get people saved, then, you know, we would just, the Bible could just be a 3x5 card. Romans 10:9, Okay, that's it. Did it. Now hang on till the return. But that's God would have all to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God not only wants us to be saved, he wants our eyes to be open and continue to grow up and not be babies, not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Oh, that sounds good. Maybe we're aliens. We came from another planet. Pick the topic. God doesn't want us to be deceived, to be tricked. And again, verse 15 says, we speak the truth in love, not with arrogance, not with some self-righteous condemnation that I know things you don't, but with love, the love of God. And God wants us to stay put on what we know from the Word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember, Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world or this age. We don't allow the things going on in the world to conform us, that we conform to what the world is pushing, accept what they're pushing, go the route the world is saying we should go. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We don't let the world dictate how we think, what we do, what we believe. We go to God's word. What does God say about it? And our adversary will use any means to get us to compromise the truth. And we're not ashamed of the truth, are we? Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And that verse we're all familiar with in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not ashamed of the truth. And neither are you. And God wants us to stay put with that position, to not be ashamed. I heard on the radio a couple weeks ago, I think it was on the radio, I heard somewhere, it was a preacher, and he was talking about a certain thing in our culture. And he said, people usually have two opinions. They either hate them or they affirm them. In other words, just accept them. And he said, as Christians, we don't hate anyone, but we don't affirm things that are contrary to God's word. That's not being conformed to this world. And we're not ashamed of what God's word says. So, why speak God's word? The more people see the light of God's word, their eyes will be open. And they have the opportunity to change their mind. And the light of God's word allows people to see things in their own lives, as well as things in the world that are contrary to God and the things of God and God's word. It allows them to see. It becomes apparent because the light of God's word has opened their eyes. Way back when we first got, I've shared this before, but it fits with what I'm sharing now. We first got into the word of God, and I don't know if it was halfway through the class or when the class was over, whatever, but it was in those early days. I'm sitting, and all of a sudden, on our little coffee table, I had a big, red, giant Buddha It was an incense burner. You know, it was the hippie days. You got to have incense. And so, you know, you go to the hippie shops and there's all kinds of incense you could buy and different kind of burners and things you could do. And all of a sudden, I just went, what is Buddha sitting on my coffee table? Prior to hearing the word of God, it was, yeah, it's just a Buddha. It didn't register. It was like, do I really want a Buddha? You know, and I didn't even try to sell it to somebody. I took it to the dumpster and got rid of it. Nobody came to my house and said, that's a sin, you shouldn't have Buddha. No, it was the word of God that opened my eyes, and that's what God's word does for people. It opens their eyes so that they can see things. The light of God's word, it becomes apparent. So here's a question. Why are there things going on in our culture today that we know are not godly? Because of what we know from God's word. The truth of God's word, the light of God's word. The word of God in our hearts keeps us solid on God's word so that we don't compromise. No matter what direction the world's going, right? Here's a quote from Martin Luther. From the beginning of my Reformation, I have asked God to send me neither dreams, nor visions, nor angels, but to give me the right understanding of His Word, the Holy Scriptures. For as long as I have God's Word, I know that I am walking in His way and that I shall not fall into any error or delusion. Isn't that a great quote? That's awesome. The more the light of God's Word gets into people in our day and time, eyes become opened. The curtains pulled back, right? People can begin to believe God's word, believe His promises, believe His blessings, and make wise decisions about themselves, about their family. We're all areas of life. And that's why it's really important for us that we focus on God's word and do our best to not get distracted from all the craziness going on in the world. And yeah, we know what's going on, but we can't get so immersed in it, so distracted by the political climate, the race climate, the gender climate, whatever climate's going on. We don't get immersed and sidetracked. We stay put on God's word. Go to Acts chapter 14. Well, actually, stop in Acts 20, because when Dave sang that song earlier, he read this verse. Oh, where was that, Dave?
In verse 32.
32, there it is. Acts 20, 32. Paul said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Acts 20, 32. Now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God's word is what will build us up. So now go to Acts 14. Thanks for sharing that verse earlier, Dave. That's just a beauty. I heard that and said, I got to add that one. We're going to Acts 14. We walk with love and we pray. We pray for a phrase we use sometimes, open doors, right? We pray for open doors to speak God's word with love in order to open people's eyes and bring them God's blessings and His deliverance. Remember in Acts, they prayed for boldness and they also prayed for signs and wonders. They prayed for boldness to speak, which is an opportunity to speak openly or freely, and for signs and wonders. So, will our speaking of God's word have an effect on saving our country or keeping it from going Well, what if our country goes into the crapper? God forbid it does. I sure hope it doesn't. But what if it does? Regardless, God's people speak his word. It says, speak the word in season and out of season. Speak God's word. In Acts 14, 27, this is at the end of Paul's first itinerary, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he, God, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Why not pray for open doors? And that means having access to share God's word with someone so that you can speak with boldness, freely, all that's on your heart. In 1 Corinthians 16, just a couple more verses on open doors and speaking. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, Paul said, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. Yeah, there's going to be adversaries. But look at that, a great door opened. He seemed like he was pretty happy about that, right? 2 Corinthians 2. I know for some of us, we have heard for years and years and years, speak the word. Speak the word. And I thought it'd be neat to just look at God's word from the perspective of why. Why do we speak the word of God? This is why. Open people's eyes. Pull the curtain back for those that want to listen. People have free will. But we pray for those open doors to help us find those people that want to hear. 2 Corinthians 2, where am I? Verse 11 is good too. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And he utilizes the culture big time. Furthermore, the verse I want to show you is verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I think he prayed for that too. The first verse we looked at this morning, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Ephesians 6, after this whole section of put on the whole armor, Paul says in verse 19, Ephesians 6, 19, and for me, he was talking about praying for me, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, freely. And to speak openly and freely, you got to have somebody with ears that wants to listen. So that's the open door. Two more places. Colossians 4. Verse 2, continue in prayer. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. An open door, an opening, an open entrance to speak, you could even say. So we're looking for people who will listen. And that's the open door. That's the open entrance to speak so that then we speak with boldness, which is freely speaking. It doesn't mean yelling at people. You know, that's not what that word boldness means. It means just to share it all, to have the freedom to share it all. We're closing in 1 Peter 3. And you probably know from experience that forcing doors open doesn't work. You're going to listen to God's word if I got to beat it out. But we could certainly pray for open doors, pray to find people who are wanting to hear. Verse 15, sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. That's why we study God's word. That's why we hide God's word in our heart. That's why we continue to learn and grow. 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Especially if you're praying for open doors, be ready. Might come at a time you weren't expecting it. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a question, asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or reverence. Again, we're not cocky and arrogant. We have a message to bring to people, to bring them the light of God's word. So pray for open doors to speak. Be ready for those open doors, those open entrances to speak freely, giving people the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Go stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. What a privilege we have. And we are those who know God's word. We're the ones to speak it. And praise the Lord, there are people all over the world that can speak the light of God's word. There are people that might not know as much as we do, but let's not be arrogant about that. We just pray that people can get saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. So, Father, thanks for your wonderful word that you magnified above all your name. How blessed we are to know some of the great truths of your word pertaining to the complete salvation and redemption of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would give us those open doors, those opportunities, those entrance into people's lives to share what we have and what we know so that they can be not only born again, but Father, come to a knowledge of the truth, that their eyes could be opened, that the light of your word can open their eyes and their hearts so that they could be blessed. And we ask you, Father, to bless this nation. Help this nation. May the light of your word prevail. May those that know your word not be ashamed to speak it. And may we not compromise, Father, but we can speak the truth in love. I pray for everyone here in the room, for those on the hookup, for all those involved with our fellowship, and Father, for fellowships around the world where your word is taught and people can gain understanding and go forth and speak it. Thanks for the privilege that we have to speak your word. And may we remember that it's your word we're speaking. And Father, may we just, with great love and respect for you, reach out with the love of God in our hearts to those who want to hear, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I'm so blessed you came to the realization of that Buddha. But it brings me back. So, bro, it brings me back, I think about around 1985, 86, I had come back east right before I went to dental school, and my cousin, I went to visit her, and, she went online and was QVC shopping or whatever. She's like, oh, I bought this big Buddha, I just sit there and I rub its belly. And I really wasn't into the knowledge of the truth of God's word at that time, to the point that, I am now more so knowledgeable. But back then, I said, there's something wrong with that Buddha. There's just something totally, I knew about, I was a believer, but there was something wrong with that Buddha sitting there at that time. And she was going on and on about this Buddha, and eventually it went away. Thank God. But it made me chuckle and think of that same time that it's like, wow, she just put so much into this Buddha. And, it's like, No, there's something wrong there.
You really didn't have a knowledge of the word, but there's something funny about the Buddha thing.
Yeah.
I think it was a year and a half ago, at least a year and a half ago, somebody, a newscaster on television, I won't say his name because you would recognize his name, he was doing this story and he said, I forget how he put this, he said, I don't know a lot about God and stuff. My wife's really the spiritual one in the family, but you would have to say that he did this. It was on the network. It wasn't CBS or whatever. It's a cable network. He said, you would just have to say there is something spiritual going on. And this is somebody that doesn't know the scriptures like we do. And when you said that about the Buddha thing, it just made me think that there are people who don't know God's word, but they see something's off somewhere.
Yeah.
And they might not be Christians going to church, and they have questions and they have concerns, and we have such great information to bring to people, to pull the curtain back and bring the light of God's word. So that's kind of cool. There are people that are like that. They don't know what's going on, but something is.